Are you looking for a space where you will learn to improve your mental strength, emotional health, and heal your insecurities from the inside out? Take the first step to living a more meaningful life with the Better Me with Body by Bree podcast. I'm your host, Bree. I'm a certified personal trainer, entrepreneur, and mother of three. I've helped empower thousands of women to take action through fitness, nutrition, meditation, personal development, and aligning thoughts with action. This podcast is for those who are ready to feel inspired and motivated to live a more purposeful life. Let's grow together. Have you ever felt disconnected from God? Maybe you feel like you've been praying and you can't feel anything and you're not sure why that connection has been broken, or maybe you're just kind of interested and you're just looking at how you can build that relationship with God. In today's podcast, it's very personal for me. I brought my mom on because she is a cranial sacral therapist and she's been working with people for about 20 years, and she has a very unique insight on people's relationship with God and why they have certain outlooks that they do. I promise you're not going to want to miss this one. It's very different than what I'm usually doing, but the message is so profound. I feel like everyone needs to hear it. So here we go. Mom, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
So we were at dinner and we were just randomly having this conversation. And I was like, wait, this needs to be on the podcast because there are so many people that could benefit from this message. So we were talking about how people right now tend to have a hard time connecting with God. And I've had this conversation with my friends personally, my circle of friends. And I know you were saying a lot of your clients are having a really hard time connecting with God, feeling God, feeling like there's something on the other side when they're praying. So what were you telling me that you found out with all these clients?
Well, I've just noticed now more than ever, especially doing this work over 30 years, that people are having a faith crisis. And it doesn't matter what religion you are, people are just feeling a disconnect from God. And they feel like they're not getting answers and they're just talking to themselves and they're not really feeling like they're really praying to anything or getting any results. And usually what I found in my work that a lot of times, not always, but many times, people will have a tendency to associate God with their father or the mother, whoever's more of a predominant figure in their life. But it's really if they had a father that was very authoritative, very strict, very rigid, my way or the highway, this is how we're going to do things. They knew their dad loved them, but they didn't always feel it. Their dad was there, but they really didn't have a connection with him. He just kind of showed up. And when he did, he was demanding and very authoritative. And so people will have a tendency to just automatically group that association with their father with God. And they see God as being authoritative. They see they have to earn his approval and his validation like they had to with their dad. And maybe they had to earn their dad's love. And they always had to be having performance-based love with their dad or their mother before they really got recognized by their parents. And sometimes they tend to have that same belief with God. And they transfer it right over to God thinking he's a parent figure. So they associate that they have to earn their worthiness. They have to earn before they can ask anything. They have to be able to earn it. They have to prove it with performance-based things to prove that they're worthy, to prove that they can have their love from their dad. And they see the same way with God. And they feel like they know their parent loved them, but they didn't always feel it. And I think a lot of times we know God loves us, but we don't always feel it, or we know he's there, but we don't really necessarily feel he's there. And so it's trying to connect the head and heart together. When you haven't had a head and heart experience with your parents, it's the same thing. And
which, Mom, can I be devil's advocate? Uh-huh. Because I'm the opposite, because Dad, for me, was so loving unconditionally and never judged me and was always there for me and always had open arms. And so that's how I've always seen God. Like, I've never felt like I've had to work to be worthy for God's love. And I almost feel like in my mind, I'm like, well, God is always accepting. God's always loving. It doesn't matter what you do. And I think a lot of that is because I had such a healthy relationship with my dad.
Exactly. And that's it, true. Just on one end of the pendulum, it's the exact same. You apply the same principles if you did have a loving relationship with God. And that was exactly what I was saying next, is that you can have the opposite of that as well. And so you have always had a great connection with God, and you've always felt like you could go to God with anything and you could tell him anything and he would respond to you that way. And so I feel like both ways are how we see God, and it affects us in being able to feel like we can confide in him. You were always able to confide in your father, but a lot of people weren't able to confide with their father. And so they found it really hard to try to confide in God or even feel like he cared enough about them to even do anything. And so I think that's a big key component is your relationship with your parents and being able to realize that and say, you know what, I want to start over. I had a girl that was really struggling with her sexuality, and she felt like God was condemning her, that God was disappointed in her, that God didn't love her, that she had let him down. And so she just totally disconnected from him because she didn't want to feel the shame and guilt from God because of some of her life choices. And so she just said, no, she didn't believe in God. But I felt when I was working on her that she did. So there was a conflict in what she said versus what I felt. So I questioned her, and we found out that, yes, she had this horrible relationship with her dad, and her dad was disappointed in her sexuality, and her dad, you know, made her feel horrible, and that she was listening to the devil. And so she correlated that with God. And so then when we explored it a little further, I said, what would you, if you could see God or Jesus, what would you want them to be like? If you could perceive them to be someone you would want, what would it look like to you? And she said, I would see Jesus or God very loving, very accepting of me. They wouldn't care what my sexuality was. They would still love me no matter what choices I made. I could just pour my heart out and tell them anything I wanted, and they wouldn't judge me, and I wouldn't feel guilt or shame. And I would just feel like I had a best friend that was with me all the time. And I would even want to feel him hug me. I'd even want to feel just that no matter what I did, he would always be there for me, loving me, and even feel his hugs. And I said, well, you just described how I see God and how I see Jesus. That's exactly my relationship with them. And so you describe the same thing I feel, and you can have that. You just have to change your belief system and recognize why you feel this way about God and create in your mind this very loving, kind, gentle person that loves you unconditionally no matter what, that is always there with his arms outstretched, always wanting to give you his grace. And my definition of grace is God making up the difference for your humanness. And the more you can claim God's grace in helping you with your humanness, the more light you allow in your body. And the more light you allow in your body, the more open you are, and you have more clarity, and you can see things from a whole different perspective instead of a really skewed perspective, a perspective on how you were raised or how your belief is with God. And I just think it makes all the difference in the world if you can create in your mind what you feel God and Jesus are to you, and then look for that in that relationship and be able to just feel like you're talking to that kind of a person and build that connection with them. And you wouldn't want this loving relationship and then just have it be one-sided. You would want to build a relationship where you both are communicating back and forth to each other and being able to understand or have impressions what he's saying to you, and feel like you can just go to him with anything, and you don't have to be worthy. He's always there with his arms outstretched. He's always wanting to help you in any way he can, and he wants you to confide in him when you can't confide in anyone else, and always feel like you have a best friend. That's exactly what I feel Christ and God represent to me. But it's taken me a while to build that relationship with him, and I trust him, and even when things don't go the way I want, then I ask God to help me understand, like, maybe this wasn't really a righteous desire of my heart. Maybe I had an ulterior motive. Help me see why this didn't come about, or help me see why I don't feel like you answered me, or was this something that wasn't going to be for my highest and best good? So help me understand. And sometimes in the space of waiting and that space of having to be patient is when I really, really, really learn what my connection is with God, that he's here, that he's with me, but he's wanting me to figure things out. And then as I figure it out, then I feel he reinforces, like, yes, you're on the right path, and opens up doorways for me to feel him and sense him. And so I just think it's really important not to have an idea of, like, if God doesn't answer me on this question, he's not there. Instead of maybe asking God, for my highest and best good, this is a request, or for my highest and best good, do you see this as a good fit for me? Or, you know, he knows what's best for you more than we do. And so sometimes we don't always get it answered in the way we want, but the way he answered us is maybe being still for a while and letting us figure it out on our own. And so I think there's both ways.
Yes. And we were kind of talking about this before, because I wanted our listeners to have a few takeaways of what they can do to strengthen their relationship with the Savior. And one of them that you said was to be still and listen. And I was just barely this morning on a hike with Adam, and I felt disconnected. And so we went on a hike, and we were meditating, and we were doing our energy circle, and we always get a message from God when we're in nature. And I was telling him, I feel like the more I do this, the more clear I'm able to hear answers, and I'm able to hear promptings, and things are getting stronger, and I'm noticing messages quicker. And throughout my life, I hear things, and it's like, it's almost like you're honing in on a gift when you're, like you said, when you're able to be still and listen and just get those promptings, because that's really how I've been able to get through hard times in my life, or hear messages or whatever, is just being still and just hearing those messages.
And sometimes it's noticing, like, a beautiful rainbow or a beautiful sunset, and you just feel that that's God's way of telling you he loves you. Or when you meditate in the morning and you're being still and you just feel this enormous, you're not alone, I'm with you, or a big hug from him. It's just subtle. And when you pray, when you talk to someone, you don't pour your heart out to him and then you just get up and leave. You be still and listen to see what the feedback is, to see what whoever you're talking with, and allow them to give you feedback. So maybe sometimes when you're pouring your heart out, just to be still and listen. Another way that I've done it is sometimes I get woke up in the middle of the night, and I keep a notebook by my bed, because usually when I get woke up, I know I'm trying to receive a message. And sometimes between 3 and 4, it's the most quiet time there is on the earth, with the animals and everything. And so it's really a point of stillness at that time in the morning. So I'll get up, and you don't always have to do it at night, but this is when I do. And I just write, "Dear God," and I just write, and pour out all my feelings. And then I turn the paper over and I write, "Dear Andrea." And then I feel like what God is telling me back. And those are some of my most spiritual messages from God, is when I can write, and I just let the pen write. And I just really feel what he's telling me as the pen writes by itself. And they're beautiful messages. It doesn't always have to be at 3 a.m. It just tends to be that for me.
I've done it before, but never at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that I'll do that as a mom.
Sometimes in the morning, you know, when you wake up, but sometimes people do get woke up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep. So instead of just laying there tossing and turning, talk to God.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. And there was one more that I was going to ask, a takeaway that our listeners could get, was to ask God how he feels about you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I always do. How did I do today? You know, how do you see me? Help me see what you see in me. Help me see some of the gifts and the characteristics that you see in me. Will you let me know? Will you help me see them? Will you help me be open to my gifts? Will you show me my gifts? You know, how do you feel about me? How am I doing as a mother? How am I doing as a wife? How do you see? And it will never, ever be condemning. It will always be encouraging and loving. As you start to develop this relationship with him, you'll always see, you know, God and the Savior being your biggest advocate and cheerleader, of just encouraging you all the time. So they may prick your conscience to improve, but they don't destroy you with guilt or shame.
Yeah. And I love, so one of the things too that you taught me was, depending on your love for yourself is how much love you can feel from God. Like, exactly. On a scale of 1 to 10. So my mom one time was like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love yourself? And I was like, feeling good that day. I'm like, I like myself. I might get a 9. And she's like, well, that's the level of love that you can feel from God. But I remember you asked Adam, and Adam wasn't in a good place at that time. And he said a 2. And you're like, how much do you love yourself? And he was like, a 2. And you're like, that's the level of love that you can feel from God. And we were just silent. Like, it was really sad, because he was like, that's true. That is so true. I can't feel God's love right now because I don't love myself right now. And as he worked on himself and improving, you know, his connection with himself and doing things to help him feel more confident and to help with his anxiety and all of that, now he's like, Brie, I'm like a 15. Like, I feel so good about myself, and I feel God's love every single day, and I know he's proud of me. And it's just really cool to see the correlation there.
It's 100% right. And it's the same with loving your kids and loving your spouse. You know, you got to love yourself first in order for you to be able to love them the same way. And working with a lot of clients every day, I can see the correlation. When their parents didn't have love for themselves, it was hard for them to love their children. And my clients are the children, saying what that was like growing up as a child, not being able to feel the love of their parent because they were so self-absorbed with their self-hate and their self-loathing and their condemnation that they did to themselves and always putting themselves down. So the kids never felt that love for them. So it's really damaging to do to your children when you don't love yourself. And even if you don't say it, they feel it. And I work on the kids that feel it from their parents, and they say, my mom doesn't love herself. She's always putting herself down. She's always knocking herself down, and it hurts my feelings, because they feel like they're part of you. And so when you say that, they feel like that's a direct reflection on them. So it's a really great goal to work towards, on loving yourself, because your kids will feel it, and it will reflect on the way they see themselves.
I love that. We should do a part 2 on how to increase your self-love. That'll be our part 2.
Sure.
I love that. All right. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Mom. I think a lot of people will have so many takeaways from this. I can't wait to see the comments on what people thought and felt. Do you want to share where people can find your resources and your information if they want to schedule a session with you or do a meditation or take one of your classes?
Sure. You can go on my website at andreawellness.com. You can either schedule an appointment, or you can buy some of my workshops that I've done on chakras. I have a 7-week one, or I have a 90-minute one. I have different courses that I've done that are pre-recorded, and chakra meditations. I have all kinds of information on there that you can purchase or download on your phone that you may enjoy. I have a chakra. I also have intentional cards that are really great to start your day off with too, and creating an intent for the day. So there's many options on my website too for self-improvement.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mom. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Love you, darling. Bye.
Thank you for joining us in today's episode. If you liked the content and want to hear more, remember to hit that subscribe button and write a review. As a small business owner, I appreciate it more than you know. If you are looking for a program to help with self-confidence, to lose weight, get in shape, and work on your mental, physical, and emotional health, check out my training programs on www.bodybybrie.com. My team and I help to hold you accountable through the Body by Brie app, where you log in to see all your workouts, custom meal plan made specifically for you and your needs, and communication through the messenger. You are never alone when you're on the Body by Brie training program. Click the link in the show notes to get more information on how to transform your life from the inside out.